There are two monthly practices that are done here, the Vajrapani and the Vajragini. But they're on the lunar calendar, so it changes every month what day it's going to be. So this month, the Vajrapani will be next Thursday evening at 7, which means there won't be any class next Thursday. If you have the empowerment, you're welcome to come. Otherwise, we'll skip a week and come back the following Thursday. Sangye chitong so ki jo nang ha jang chu bai du da ni kya su ti da gi jin so gi pi so nang gi do la pin chi sangye
I go for refuge until I am enlightened,
to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints, from the virtuous merits that I collect, by the practice of giving and other perfections, may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
I go for refuge until I am enlightened,
to the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the assembly of saints, from the virtuous merits that I collect, by the practice of giving and the other perfections,
may I attain the state of a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
May all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all beings never be separated from the bliss which is sorrowless. May all dwell in equanimity free from aversion and clinging.
The ground is covered with flowers and sprinkled with scented water. In the middle is Mount Meru,
surrounded by the four continents and ornamented by the sun and the moon. By visualizing all this and offering it as a Buddha realm, may all sentient beings partake of the Buddha's pure lands. Om Guru Buddha Bodhisattva Sapariwana Ratnamana Pujamaya Samudra Saparana Samaya. Welcome to the 11th session of Parting from the Four Attachments. I added some more pieces to the chart here just to help us get through the map of enlightenment or how to grow a Buddha. We start out as human or otherwise sentient beings and go through refuge and renunciation. And in the third line of the four attachments, which are the one we're on now, there's different meditations that we go through in sequence. So we went through the loving-kindness meditations, we went through the compassion meditation, and tonight we're going to talk about the enlightenment thought meditation. Enlightenment thought is sometimes referred to as enlightenment mind or bodhicitta. I try to use English as much as possible just to get away from the lingo. But you'll see it translating in different ways and you'll hear it referred to in different ways, but those are all synonyms. And then we go on from there, and later on we'll add some more up here. But for now, just to understand a little bit about enlightenment thought or enlightenment mind, there's two kinds. There's relative and absolute. Absolute is sometimes called ultimate. And that'll be talked about when we get to the fourth line. So we won't talk about that tonight, but it's coming. So if we break down the relative enlightenment thought, it also has two types. So we have aspiring or wishing. Historically, the word wishing has been translated a lot. I personally don't care for that word too much. Aspiration is a little bit stronger feeling to it, so I prefer aspiration. But most often you'll see it in books as wishing. But they're synonyms, okay? And then you have entering enlightenment mind or doing. It's actually referred to in one of the quotes tonight as doing. So wishing and doing are the two types of relative enlightenment thought. So this is what we'll be talking about tonight, mostly explaining what that is, and then how do you do the meditation for it. So again, these meditations are done in order. There's like a progression that you go through to develop your altruism and your enlightenment thought. So that's tonight's map. We'll start with the aspiration enlightenment mind, okay? Going through the loving kindness and the compassion meditations, we've seen and we've experienced the necessity to rescue our mother sentient beings from the suffering of cyclic existence in which they're trapped. But we don't really have the knowledge and the skill and the power to do that from where we're at right now. But this is not only true for us, but it's true for great worldly gods, for the hearers and the solitary realizers. None of them have the power to free beings completely. It's only fully enlightened Buddhas have that power. So understanding that, then when we do these meditations, there arises a strong inner urge for us to attain enlightenment so that we can be in a position of helping our mother sentient beings. And that desire or that wish or that aspiration is the wishing arising enlightenment mind. Wishing or aspiring enlightenment mind. Doing the meditation, when that wish arises in us, that is the wishing bodhicitta. And when we do this process of developing enlightenment mind, it's important that we go through the step-by-step sequence. Otherwise, our aspiration will be weak. We want to have this really strong altruism develop, really compelling. And by going through the meditations that we've learned in the last couple of weeks, again and again and again, very short sessions, but repeated, that really develops the aspiration in a strong way. So we're not wavering with it. And we really, as we'll see, then we actually go and do something about it later. Okay. But for now, we need to develop the aspiration part of it really strongly by doing the sequence. So Dzongtsar Kenzi Rinpoche said, our starting point is known as aspiration bodhicitta. At least we can wish to one day have the wish of bodhicitta. This is the simplest and most beneficial course that we can take. Wishes are the engine of the world, you know. Wishes have such power. A wish can energize powerful action. A strong and determined wish can energize heroic courage. And heroic courage is what we need in this, because we're developing into bodhisattvas, and bodhisattva itself means hero. Yeah, this is a larger undertaking to become enlightened, and it takes courage and effort and energy. It's not something that just falls out of the sky on your head. Nörtchen Khunga Tsangpo said, through the power of compassion that has been properly produced, the thought of enlightenment will arise. As it says in a sutra, the root of that enlightenment thought is compassion. It is the mind that desires to always benefit sentient beings. Gorampa Sonam Senge said, the meditation on the enlightenment thought includes the wishing or aspiring enlightenment thought. Although I wish that my kind parents, equal in number to all living beings of the three realms of existence, be endowed with happiness and be apart from suffering right now, I do not have the ability to bring this about. Not only that, but the great ones of the universe, Brahma, Indra, and so on, and the hearers and solitary realizers who have gone beyond this universe do not have this ability. Since it is only the fully and perfectly enlightened Buddhas who have this ability, for the sake of all sentient beings, I must attain the state of full enlightenment. I must liberate all my kind parents from the ocean of existence. There is no other cause for the attainment of Buddhahood other than the enlightenment thought. If the enlightenment thought is produced in your mind, then the root of virtue of whatever practice you perform becomes a cause for attaining full enlightenment. Therefore, this enlightenment thought has been praised many times in the Mahayana Sutras. That was Gorampa Sonam Senge who said that. So the last line there, or the last second last line there, is interesting. He says, if the enlightenment thought is produced in your mind, then the root of virtue of whatever practice you perform becomes a cause for attaining full enlightenment. So we've talked about this before, where it's really important not to dismiss small virtuous actions or small virtuous activities. Because as we've talked about before, karma has this multiplying effect. And so really the way to think about it is probably more accurate to think that it multiplies by 100 times, positive or negative. So if your motivation is set with the enlightenment thought, even if you just do a really small action, a small virtuous action, it has this tremendous result in terms of becoming a cause for full enlightenment. So we've talked before about how we can turn neutral activities into positive activities, because most of our day is probably filled with neutral activities. Generally speaking, we're not running around doing a lot of virtue and non-virtue, we're running around doing a lot of neutral stuff, like walking, sitting, standing, eating, working. Most of our day is neutral. But by setting our motivation correctly, we can transform those neutral activities. And we gave some examples, and there's lots more. So if I'm walking down the sidewalk, I can think with my enlightenment thought, may all beings walk the path to enlightenment. Or if I'm climbing stairs, or if I'm turning on a light, may all beings be enlightened. Or if I'm washing dishes, may all beings be cleansed of their non-virtue. So just by having these thoughts while we're doing everyday type activities, we can develop a massive amount of merit. And that's the game plan. We want to develop a lot of merit in order to realize wisdom. In order to realize wisdom, you need a lot of merit. And so these activities, we're able to generate merit on a daily basis, basically as much as you can remember to do this type of practicing, where you set your motivation and then just think in an altruistic manner. And you can use your own creativity of just making them up, too. Sakyapandita's Clarifying the Sage's Intent has pages and pages of suggestions if you need some ideas about how to do that practice. But this is a very simple and easy way to practice on a daily basis. And when you do that, you create kind of a momentum in your practice. It becomes more present in your life, in your day, when you start doing that. And by developing this merit, then we put ourselves in the position of attaining wisdom, which is a very high, difficult attainment. In a very simplistic way, you could say that attaining wisdom is synonymous with enlightenment. All of these pieces kind of fit together if we can understand how it works. So we have the enlightenment thought, we have the altruistic motivation, we have the mindfulness to recognize, oh, I'm doing something neutral here, I could be converting it into merit. What can I think with my mind to change this? Whatever your daily activity is that you're doing that's neutral. So this is skillful means. Skillful means are these ways of doing things in a skillful way. And so knowing these methods, we're able to accelerate our practice really a lot. So that's good to know. His Eminence the Sangha Rinpoche said, pray, that is, bring to mind the following. All sentient beings should be happy and free from suffering, but currently they are not. I don't have the power to free them, and neither do the God realm beings, and neither do the arhats nor the solitary realizers. Only fully enlightened Buddhas can. Generate the enlightenment thought in order to help others. This is the main cause of attaining enlightenment. Whatever practice you do then becomes a cause of attaining enlightenment. So that's just another way of saying the same thing. His Eminence Chogyi Trichen Rinpoche said, shunning the disgraceful attitude that abandons sentient beings, we should accept the grace of repaying the kindness of others, giving rise to altruism. This leads to the awakening of bodhicitta, the thought of enlightenment. To have the thought of enlightenment, the wish to free others from suffering, and establish them in the state of perfect enlightenment, not only means that we always wish for the welfare of others, it also means that we will always sacrifice our own welfare for the sake of others. If we want to have the thought of enlightenment, we should take to heart the words we speak and recite as practitioners. We may say, I'm acting for the sake of all sentient beings, while our behavior may not correspond in any way to that statement. If the words we speak are not supported by our actions and our conduct, then we do not have the genuinely altruistic thought of enlightenment attitude. This is why we begin by generating a great strength of aspiration, and then we learn to follow this up with actions. These two, which are known as the mind of enlightenment of aspiration, or wishing, and the mind of enlightenment of application, or entering, or doing, together they constitute what is known as relative mind of enlightenment. The mind of enlightenment is of two types. Relative mind of enlightenment and ultimate or absolute mind of enlightenment. Ultimate mind of enlightenment will be the topic under discussion when we come to the fourth line spoken by Manjushri. Relative mind of enlightenment is concerned with how we initially train our mind. This must be done so thoroughly that we become habituated to altruistic thinking, and it becomes the natural tendency of our mind. This tendency gains momentum until we dedicate whatever virtuous conduct we engage in, however small, so that all sentient beings may attain Buddhahood. Understood more deeply, enlightenment thought really means to have a vast mind, an intention so inclusive that it embraces all beings. Having pondered and taken these things to heart, one is really able to dedicate whatever one does for the benefit of other beings. Right now, we are more accustomed to adopting a selfish attitude. And for this reason, we are taught to offer prayers that we may be able to turn our backs on selfishness and turn instead to cherishing the welfare of others. An important aspect of this is the dedication of merit. as we are dedicating the benefits of whatever good we have done for the sake of all beings. Sending forth for the benefit of others whatever virtue we accumulate is part of the practice of exchanging oneself for others, the next step in the authentic cultivation of the mind of enlightenment. In the first lines of the Madhyamaka Avatara of the Indian Buddhist Pandita Chandrakirti, 7th century, it says that there are three causes that produce a bodhisattva, a sublime being on the stages of enlightenment, according to the great vehicle. The first is compassion. The second is the wisdom that realizes the emptiness of the self and the emptiness of all phenomena. And the third is the mind of enlightenment, both relative and ultimate. Finally, Chandrakirti says that a perfect Buddha is born from a bodhisattva. In the present context, his words make it clear that one cannot attain Buddhahood without the mind of enlightenment. So this is this progression that we've been talking about, where we go through renunciation. These are the first two lines of the four lines. And then loving kindness, compassion, enlightenment, thought, aspiring, and then entering. Of course, in here we have bodhisattva. I didn't write that, but at this point, this is all according to the Mahayana path, okay? When we get up here, we can split into Sutrayana and Vajrayana, but that's later on. We won't need to worry about that now. Choge Trichen Rinpoche foreshadows here one of the topics we're going to be covering later, which is the exchanging of self and others. So there's more to come in here, and we'll take it step by step, because as we've said, these have to be done in order to build the momentum and the depth of the meaning for us. So we won't be talking about exchanging tonight, but that's coming up. Equalizing and exchanging. So that's the aspiration mind of enlightenment, and then there's the entering mind of enlightenment. In the simplest terms, the entering mind of enlightenment is doing it, actually doing the practices. So the example that's often given to explain this is, see if I can modernize this a little bit. So this summer, the North American Sakya Prayer Festival, which rotates from in different cities, this summer it's going to be in Canada, in Toronto. First time in Canada. And there's a prayer festival in Europe, and then there's one in Asia, and there's one in North America. So if I have the idea, oh wow, 41st Sakya Treason is going to be there, 42nd Sakya Treason is going to be there, 43rd Sakya Treason is going to be there, lots of people are going to be there, that would be really awesome to go. I went to the one in Asia one time, and it's really amazing. Hundreds and hundreds of people. 15 days of praying, mostly aspiration prayers. Wouldn't it be great to go to Toronto and go to the prayer festival? Oh, wow. I'd really like to do that. It'd be a lot of benefit, wouldn't it? Lots of merit, lots of prayers, lots of practicing. Wow, I think I'd really like to do that. Yeah. So I'm aspiring is more than, it's more than just wishing, but yeah, I'm going to do that. It's kind of got more oomph to it than just wishing, like, you know, wishing on a star or wishful thinking. Aspiring is like, I want to do that. I put some energy behind this. So that's aspiring. Now, entering is, okay, I have to make sure I get a plane ticket and I have to book a hotel and got to find some restaurants around there to eat because it's 3 days. And I got to buy the ticket. I got to clear my schedule too, see if I can get off work or just take off work. And then I actually have to get on the plane and I have to go there and I have to register in the hotel and I have to sign up for the event and I have to do all the stuff of doing it. That's the entering part, the actual doing it. I've aspired to do it strongly enough and firmly enough that I actually got it together and did all the things that are necessary to physically actually do it. That's the entering part. So that's the example that's usually given in terms of explaining the difference between aspiring and entering. One is I'm wishing or aspiring to go somewhere, and the other is I'm actually going. I'm actually doing it. So in simplistic terms, that's how it works. But in terms of what we're doing here, we're talking about something much bigger than just getting on an airplane. Of course, we're talking about attaining enlightenment for the sake of all beings. But if we haven't done the previous steps, the loving kindness, the renunciation, the loving kindness, and the compassion, we really won't have enough momentum, probably, to actually aspire and enter and do what it takes to do a practice like that, or to do any practice, really. So that's why it's emphasized to do these meditations that we've been learning, do them for short periods of time, and do them repeatedly. So that it really sinks in and becomes a part of our being and who we are. So that's a brief description of enlightenment thought, where it fits in the scheme of practicing, but also the importance of it. You can't skip that step if you want to get here. There's no shortcuts. There's no jumping. Now, when we get up to here into the choosing whether it's Sutrayana or Vajrayana, then we can talk about going faster or not. But in any case, either of those two paths is all built, they're both built on all of this. There's no difference, okay? Any questions about any of this?
Do you know the chapter that you're quoting? Satya Pandita's gave a lot of examples of how to bring everyday events into life. Do you know roughly where it's a big book? You know roughly where it is?
Well, there's more than one book that covers that, and a very small, easy to read book is by Apai Rinpoche. It's a very thin little book, and it mostly has the stories. And in that book, if you get a hold of it, I'm not sure if it's in the library here or not, but it's easily obtained. I don't know the page number, but you'd find it very easily because it's a little tiny, not tiny, but it's a very small book. The actual Sakya Pandita's Clarifying the Sage's Intent is a very not so easy to read thick book. But it's kind of like a teacher's manual in a way, because Sakya Pandita will be going along explaining something, and then he'll say, and at this point the teacher should tell the story about the seven sisters who were worms. But he doesn't tell you what the story is. You're supposed to know that if you're a teacher. So what do? You run, you get Apai Rinpoche's book, and all the stories are in there, and you can read the references. So those two books really kind of complement each other, especially if you want to go into any depth in that teaching, which is an amazing, amazing, amazing teaching. It's basically the map to enlightenment in great detail. This is kind of schematic, simplified, but he goes into the bodhisattva stages, which we just casually refer to, the Arya bodhisattvas. He goes into all kinds of detail about each one of the 10 levels and what the names are and what happens on those levels and the powers that are attained on those levels and so on and so forth. I find it really fascinating because it really shows you, you know, if you want to go somewhere and you want to have a good map, that's it. But in terms of this, like I said, in terms of the stories, they're not in there. So the Apa Rinpoche book, that's where you want to go if you want to have these examples about how to turn your daily life into meritorious activities, because there's lots of them in there. There are other texts that have examples too. Beautiful Ornament of the Three Visions has quite a few examples. Maybe not quite as many, but there's quite a few in there too. That book we definitely have here. We have different copies by different translators. So there's some examples in those books too, which are, you know, it's easy enough to look in the book and see it. So there's a couple of different sources you can go to.
Yeah, thanks.
Any other questions about what we're talking about? Okay. Well, now we can do the meditation part so that this takes on some depth for us. So, find a posture that you're comfortable with to sit for a few minutes. Hopefully with your spine elongated a bit. And I like to take a couple of breaths just to transition from all the words into a quieter space. So tonight we're going to do a meditation on enlightenment thought. Or enlightenment mind. Bodhicitta. We've already done the loving kindness meditations. And the compassion meditations. And out of that, we begin to generate the enlightenment thought. Which is, although I wish that my kind parents, who are equal in number to all sentient beings, of the three realms, I wish that they be endowed with happiness and the causes of happiness and be apart from suffering and the causes of suffering. But right now, I don't have the ability to bring this about. And not only that, neither do all the great worldly gods of the universe, nor the hearers, nor the solitary realizers, who have gone beyond suffering, but they do not have this ability. And since it's only a fully enlightened Buddha who has that ability, then for the sake of all sentient beings, all my mothers, I must attain the state of full enlightenment. I must liberate all my kind parents from the ocean of existence. say the dedication for now. So nam dei tan cha ze pa ni tom na nye be da nam bon je de ke ga na ji ma lung tu pe yi sit pe tso le do a do ar shu Jung Chu Sen Cho Grim Bo Chi Ma Ke Pa Nam Ke Gyur Chi Ye Ma Nyam Par Me Par Yang Gong Ne Gong Tu Pyo Par Shu Pa Pa Oi Ji Tar Ken Pa Dang Gern du sang bo de yang de shin de De da kung gi je su ha go je Ge wa di da tam che ram tu ngô Du su je pi gya wa tam che ki Nyuwa gam na jo tu nga pa gi Dak shen ge we sa wa di kun kyang Sam po che che ra tu nga war gi Yang sa wa dang jo jing sha pa dang Jesu yi rang ku shing so a yi Ge wa chung le da gi chi sa pa Tam che so pe jang chu chi
By this merit may all obtain omniscience May defeat the enemy wrongdoing From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may all beings be free. Bodhicitta is precious. May it arise in all beings in whom it has not arisen. May it never decline where it has arisen, but may it ever grow and flourish. In whatever way Valli, Manjushri, and Samantabhadra know how to transfer merit, So do I dedicate all my own virtues, that I might train to be like them. Through this dedication, praised as supreme by the victorious Buddhas of the past, present, and future, I, together with all sentient beings, dedicate these roots of virtue to attaining Buddhahood. May whatever little virtue I may have gained from prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, requesting, and beseeching, be dedicated to attaining perfect enlightenment.
Thank you.
Thank you.